there's a place where human breath turns into ice crystals mid-air. This place holds volcanoes and glaciers, deserts and the frozen lakes. Tigers hunting through endless forests. A place larger than America and Europe combined, yet almost empty, where ground stays frozen for 30,000 years, where temperatures make Mars look warm. I discovered a place where ancient frozen mammoths are appearing from the ice, still covered in fur, after being frozen for 30,000 years. I'm talking about a place where over 30 million people actually live, where cities exist, where children go to school in temperatures that would kill most humans in minutes. Welcome to Siberia. And trust me, everything you think you know about it is wrong. First, let's talk about size. Siberia covers over 13 million square kilometers. Now, I know that number doesn't mean much to most people, so let me put it this way. Siberia is larger than the United States and Europe combined. If Siberia were its own country, it would be the largest nation on Earth. And yet, fewer than 40 million people live here. That's less than one person per square kilometer. To put that in perspective, in some parts of Siberia, you could walk for days without seeing another human being. But here's what blows my mind. Siberia isn't just big in terms of land. It stretches across seven time zones. Seven. That means when people in Western Siberia are eating breakfast, people in the East are getting ready for dinner. The region begins at the Ural Mountains, that ancient range that divides Europe from Asia and extends all the way to the Pacific Ocean. That's nearly 7,000 kilometers of wilderness, mountains, rivers, and ice. And this massive territory? It holds secrets that scientists are only beginning to understand. Beneath Siberia's frozen surface lies something extraordinary. Most of the region sits on permafrost, ground that has remained frozen for thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of years. And as this permafrost slowly thaws, it reveals things that shouldn't exist anymore. Mammoths. Perfectly preserved mammoths with fur still attached to their bodies. Seeds that are 30,000 years old, but can still sprout when planted. Even ancient viruses that scientists call zombie viruses, because they've been frozen in time since the Ice Age. But that's not all the ground is hiding. Deep beneath Siberia's frozen surface lies one of the greatest concentrations of natural resources on the planet. Oil, natural gas, gold, diamonds. Nearly 80% of Russia's mineral wealth comes from this frozen land. The irony is beautiful, isn't it? The same cold that makes Siberia seem uninhabitable is what preserved these treasures for millions of years. Now, before we go deeper into Siberia's secrets, we need to visit the coldest inhabited places on Earth, because understanding extreme cold isn't just about numbers on a thermometer, it's about understanding survival itself. Let me take you to Yakutsk. Population, nearly 300,000, and it holds a record no other major city wants, the coldest city on Earth. In winter, temperatures in Yakutsk regularly drop to minus 40, minus 50, sometimes even minus 60 degrees Celsius. At these temperatures, cold stops being just uncomfortable. It becomes dangerous, deadly even. When the temperature plunges this low, the entire city disappears beneath a thick fog. It's not regular fog. It's called ice fog, created when moisture in the air literally freezes and hangs suspended above the streets. Walking through Yakutsk in winter feels like moving through a ghost world. The sun barely rises above the horizon, even at noon. Buildings look like shadows in the mist. And the silence. The silence is something you have to experience to understand. At minus 50, sound itself changes. Everything becomes muffled, as if the cold is swallowing all noise. But people live here, they work here, children go to school here, life continues. How? Well, everything in Yakutsk is adapted to the cold. Houses are built on stilts because the ground is permanently frozen. If you built directly on the ground, the heat from your house would melt the permafrost beneath it, and your building would slowly sink into the earth. Cars in parking lots are never turned off in winter, because if you turn off your engine, the oil freezes, the battery dies, and you'll need a tow truck with a heated garage to get it running again. But Yakutsk isn't even the coldest place in Siberia, not even close. That title belongs to a small village called Oymyakon. Oymyakon is known as the Pole of Cold. In 1933, temperatures here dropped to minus 67.7 degrees Celsius. That's the coldest temperature ever recorded in an inhabited place outside of Antarctica. Think about that for a moment. Colder than anywhere humans permanently live. Colder than the surface of Mars on a good day. Fewer than 1,000 people live in Oymyakon, and their daily life is something most of us can't even imagine. Ink freezes in pens. Glasses freeze to your face. If you breathe too deeply through your mouth, your lungs can freeze. So why do people stay? For many families here, this is home. Their ancestors lived here. Their culture is tied to this land. The Yakut people have survived in these conditions for centuries, developing knowledge and traditions that make the impossible possible. They know which fish to catch under the ice, how to preserve meat by simply hanging it outside, how to read the weather by watching the behavior of reindeer. This isn't just survival, it's a complete way of life built around the cold. But here's something that surprised me when I first learned about it. Despite the brutal cold, Siberia produces incredible wealth. And much of that wealth comes from deep underground, in one of the most dramatic mining operations ever created by humans. Let me tell you about a hole in the ground. Not just any hole, but one of the most impressive and terrifying things humans have ever dug. The Mirny Diamond Mine. From above, it looks like a massive spiral carved into the earth, nearly a kilometer deep, more than a kilometer wide, so large that helicopters are forbidden from flying directly over it because the downdraft can literally suck aircraft into the pit. This mine produced some of the finest diamonds ever found. Stones from Mirny ended up in jewelry stores in Paris, New York, London. They glittered on display cases around the world, while the miners who pulled them from frozen ground worked in conditions most people would consider impossible. By 2001, the open pit was exhausted. Mining moved underground, deeper into the frozen earth. But the pit remains, a massive scar on the landscape. A reminder of what humans will do for wealth. Yet diamonds aren't the only thing buried in Siberia's past. There's a darker history here, one written in suffering and blood. During Stalin's rule, Siberia became something else entirely, a prison without walls. Millions of people were sent here to labor camps called gulags. Political prisoners, artists, teachers, ordinary people caught in the machinery of Soviet terror. They built roads, mined gold, cut timber, and many of them died doing it. One of these roads still exists, the Kalima Highway. Locals call it the Road of Bones. The name isn't poetic, it's literal. Thousands of prisoners died building this road through some of the harshest terrain on Earth. Their bodies were buried along the route, sometimes in the road itself. The bones became part of the foundation. Today, you can still drive the Kalima Highway. It stretches for over 2,000 kilometers through frozen wilderness. In some sections, the road is just gravel and dirt. In winter, it becomes a white corridor through an endless landscape of snow and dead trees. Along the way, you'll pass ghost towns, places like Kadikchan. Kadikchan was a coal mining town built in the 1940s by Gulag prisoners. At its peak, more than 10,000 people lived here. Miners extracted coal from the mountains to fuel Soviet industry. Children went to school. Families built lives in this remote corner of the world. Then, in 1996, an explosion in one of the mines killed six workers. The government shut down the operation. Subsidies ended. Families were told to leave. And within a few years, Kadikchan became a frozen ghost. Today, the town stands empty. Apartment blocks with shattered windows. Streets covered in snow and ice. Silence, except for the wind howling through empty corridors. These ghost towns are scattered all across Siberia. Reminders that even in the harshest environments, humans tried to build something. And when the economics changed, nature reclaimed what was always hers. But not everything in Siberia is abandoned. At the eastern edge, where the continent finally meets the Pacific, life still thrives in one of Russia's most strategic cities. Vladivostok. The name means rule the east. And standing on its shores, looking out at the Pacific Ocean, you understand the ambition behind that name. Founded in 1860, Vladivostok was Russia's answer to a simple question. How do we control the Pacific? The answer was to build a fortress city at the edge of the continent, a place where European architecture would meet Asian culture, where the Trans-Siberian Railway would finally reach the sea. During Soviet times, Vladivostok was a closed city. No foreigners allowed. No photographs. It was a naval base, a military secret hidden on the map. But today it's alive. Nearly 600,000 people live here. The city rises on hills surrounding Golden Horn Bay, connected by the Rusky Bridge, one of the longest cable-stayed bridges in the world. From the hilltops, you can see the entire bay, filled with ships coming and going, connecting Russia to Japan, Korea, China. Vladivostok is where the Trans-Siberian Railway ends. And speaking of that railway, we need to talk about it. Because this isn't just a train line. It's one of the greatest engineering achievements in human history. The Trans-Siberian Railway stretches 9,289 kilometers from Moscow to Vladivostok. It crosses seven time zones, two continents, and passes through terrain that ranges from flat plains to mountain ranges to frozen tundra. Construction began in 1891 under Tsar Alexander III. The goal was simple, but seemed impossible. Connect the Russian Empire from west to east with a continuous rail line. Thousands of workers spent 25 years cutting through forests, bridging rivers, and laying track across permafrost. Many died in the process, but by 1916, the line was complete. Today, riding the Trans-Siberian is like taking a journey through time. The trip from Moscow to Vladivostok takes about a week if you don't stop. 7 days of watching the landscape change outside your window. Forests give way to plains. Plains become mountains. Mountains turn into endless taiga. Small stations appear and disappear. In some places, the train stops for just 2 minutes, long enough for vendors to sell food through the windows. Then the whistle blows and you're moving again, deeper into Siberia. But here's something that surprises most travelers. The journey isn't just about reaching the destination. It's about understanding scale, about feeling the vastness of this land in a way maps can never show you. And as the train rolls east, it passes through landscapes that seem to belong to different worlds entirely. Because Siberia's greatest secret isn't just its size or its cold, it's its impossible diversity. Let me tell you about a lake that holds more water than all of North America's Great Lakes combined, Lake Baikal. Baikal is over 25 million years old, making it the oldest lake on Earth. It's 636 kilometers long and plunges to depths of over 1,600 meters. That's deep enough to stack 5 Eiffel Towers on top of each other and still not reach the surface. But the numbers don't capture what Baikal really is. In summer, the water is so clear you can see down 40 meters. The surface turns a shade of blue that seems impossible, almost artificial. Mountains rise directly from the shoreline, their peaks reflected perfectly in the still water. In winter, everything changes. The lake freezes solid, but the ice is transparent. You can look down through it and see air bubbles trapped beneath the surface, creating patterns that look like frozen lightning bolts. The ice is so thick that trucks drive across it, taking shortcuts from one shore to another. And the life here? It's unique in every sense of the word. Over 2,500 species live in and around Baikal. Two-thirds of them are found nowhere else on Earth, including the Baikal seal, the only freshwater seal species on the planet. Scientists still debate how these seals ended up in a lake that's thousands of kilometers from any ocean. The most likely explanation: they migrated here millions of years ago when Baikal was still connected to the sea. Then the lake became landlocked and the seals adapted, evolving into a completely unique species. For the Buryat people, indigenous to this region, Baikal isn't just a lake. It's sacred. They call it the Sacred Sea and believe spirits live in its depths. Even today, travelers leave offerings at the shores, ribbons tied to trees, coins tossed into the water. But Baikal isn't the only natural wonder in Siberia. Not by a long shot. Just a few hundred kilometers north along the Lena River, nature carved something that looks almost impossible. The Lena Pillars. Imagine standing at the base of stone towers that rise over 100 meters straight up from the river. Perfect columns of limestone, layered with horizontal bands that mark hundreds of millions of years of geological history. These pillars were formed during the Cambrian period, over 500 million years ago, when this entire region was covered by a shallow sea. As the water receded and the climate shifted, wind and water carved the soft limestone into these impossible spires. From a distance, they look like a city. Up close, they feel like a cathedral. The scale is overwhelming. You stand at the base and look up, and you feel impossibly small, like an insect looking up at skyscrapers. Local Yakut people believe these pillars are sacred, that spirits inhabit the stones. And honestly, standing there in the silence, with the Lena River flowing past and the pillars rising into the sky, it's easy to believe in something beyond geology. But if you think stone pillars are impressive, Wait until you see what's happening on the other side of Siberia. The Kamchatka Peninsula. Kamchatka is one of the most volcanically active regions on Earth. Over 300 volcanoes rise from this narrow strip of land that juts into the Pacific, and 29 of them are still active. The most famous is Kluchevskaya Sopka, a perfect volcanic cone that rises over 4,700 meters. It erupts regularly, sometimes throwing ash plumes so high they interfere with air traffic across the Pacific. But the real magic of Kamchatka isn't just the volcanoes. It's what the volcanoes create. The Valley of Geysers, for example. This is one of the largest geothermal fields on Earth. Jets of boiling water blast skyward. Steam rises from cracks in the ground. Mud pools bubble and spit. The ground is painted in shades of yellow, red, and orange from sulfur and other minerals. Walking through the Valley of Geysers feels like walking on another planet. The air smells of sulfur. The ground rumbles beneath your feet. And every few minutes, another geyser erupts, sending water and steam high into the sky. You can only reach this place by helicopter. There are no roads. The valley is protected as a nature reserve, and only a handful of tourists are allowed to visit each year. But Kamchatka's wonders don't stop at geysers and volcanoes. Every summer, something incredible happens in the rivers here. Salmon return from the ocean to spawn. Millions of them. So many that the water turns red with their bodies. And waiting for them are the brown bears. Kamchatka has one of the largest populations of brown bears on Earth. During salmon season, you can see dozens of bears gathered at waterfalls and river rapids, catching fish as they leap upstream. The bears wade into the current and wait. When a salmon jumps, they swipe with their massive paws, sending the fish flying onto the bank. It's one of nature's most spectacular feeding frenzies. These bears can weigh over 600 kilograms. They're powerful enough to kill a moose with a single blow. And yet, watching them catch salmon, you see something almost gentle, a precision, a patience. They gorge themselves for months, building up fat reserves for the long winter ahead. By the time the salmon run ends, some bears will have gained over 100 kilograms. Now, here's where Siberia really starts to break your expectations. Because while we've been talking about volcanoes and frozen lakes, I haven't mentioned one of the most surprising features of this land. Siberia has deserts. Yes, deserts. In Siberia, the Kara Sands, a patch of golden dunes rising in the middle of a forest, surrounded by snow-capped mountains. It looks like someone dropped a piece of the Sahara into Siberia by mistake. And in a way, that's exactly what happened. During the last ice age, glaciers covered this region. As they moved, they crushed rock into fine sand. When the ice retreated, it left behind this sand in a valley. Wind did the rest, sculpting it into dunes that can reach 80 meters high. The result is surreal. You're standing in a forest of larch and pine, and then suddenly, you're walking on sand dunes. The temperature can swing from minus 40 in winter to plus 40 in summer. It's a place of extremes within a land already defined by extremes. But the Kara Sands are just one example of Siberia's diversity. As we move west from Kamchatka, through the taiga, we encounter landscape after landscape that seems to contradict everything we think we know about this region. The Altai Mountains, for instance. This UNESCO World Heritage region is one of the most beautiful mountain ranges on Earth. Jagged peaks, turquoise lakes, alpine meadows filled with wildflowers in summer. And at its heart rises Mount Baluka, the highest peak in Siberia at 4,506 meters. Baluka is considered sacred by many indigenous people. They believe it's the gateway to Shambhala, a mythical paradise in Buddhist tradition. Shamans say the mountain radiates spiritual energy. Whether you believe in that or not, there's something undeniable about standing at the base of Baluka. The twin peaks rise like white pyramids against the blue sky. Glaciers flow down its sides, feeding the Katun River below. And the silence, the absolute silence, is profound. In the valleys surrounding Baluka, you'll find another of Siberia's surprises, the Kizilchin Valley, known as Altai Mars. The hills here are striped with bands of red, orange, yellow, and purple. It looks like the surface of Mars. Each color represents a different mineral layer exposed by millions of years of erosion. Iron gives the reds. Manganese creates the purples. Sulfates produce the yellows. Walking through this valley feels like stepping onto another planet. And it reminds you that Siberia isn't just one thing. It's a collection of worlds, each more surprising than the last. The taiga forest, the largest continuous forest on Earth, stretching over 5 million square kilometers. Home to brown bears, lynx, wolverines, and wolves. But also home to something else, something that makes the taiga truly special. The Amur tiger, the largest of all big cats. Fewer than 600 remain in the wild, and most of them live in the forests of far eastern Siberia. These tigers are perfectly adapted to the cold. Their fur is thicker than that of tigers in tropical climates. They can survive temperatures that would kill other big cats. And they're powerful enough to take down prey as large as a moose. Seeing an Amur tiger in the wild is almost impossible. They're solitary, elusive, and their territory can cover hundreds of square kilometers. But knowing they're there, moving silently through the snow-covered forest, adds something to the landscape. A sense of wildness, of danger, of life existing on its own terms. And that brings us to the final part of our journey. Because we've seen the cold, the volcanoes, the lakes, the forests. But there's one more side of Siberia that ties everything together. The people who actually live here. Let me introduce you to the Nenets, a nomadic people who live in the Yamal Peninsula, one of the harshest environments on Earth. The Nenets are reindeer herders. They move with the seasons, following their herds across the tundra. In summer, they head north. In winter, they migrate south. It's a pattern their ancestors followed for thousands of years. Their homes are called chums, conical tents made from reindeer hide. They can be assembled and taken down in under an hour. Everything the Nenets own can be packed onto sleds pulled by reindeer. It's a life of constant movement. No permanent buildings, no modern conveniences. Just the herd, the family, and the endless tundra. To outsiders, it might seem like a hard life. And it is. Temperatures drop to minus 50. Blizzards can last for days. But the Nenets don't see it as suffering. This is their culture, their identity, their home. They know how to read the weather by watching the behavior of animals. They know which plants can be used for medicine. They can navigate by the stars and the wind. Knowledge passed down through generations, kept alive by oral tradition. But the modern world is encroaching. Oil and gas companies want access to the land beneath the tundra. climate change is melting the permafrost, changing migration patterns. Some young nenets are leaving for cities, drawn by education and opportunities. The question facing many indigenous peoples in Siberia is this: how do you preserve your culture while adapting to a changing world? There's no easy answer, but the resilience these people have shown for centuries gives hope that they'll find a way. And it's not just the Nenets, the Yakuts, the Buryats, the Evenki. Over 40 indigenous groups call Siberia home, each with their own language, traditions, and ways of understanding this vast land. In Yakutsk, you'll find a mix of indigenous Yakut culture and modern Russian city life. Buddhist monasteries stand next to Orthodox churches. Traditional throat-singing performances happen in buildings designed by Soviet architects. It's a reminder that Siberia has always been a place of layers. Ancient and modern. Indigenous and Russian. Frozen and alive. And perhaps that's the real truth about Siberia. It's not one story, it's thousands of stories woven together across millions of square kilometers. Stories of survival in the coldest inhabited places on Earth. Stories of natural wonders that defy description. Stories of peoples who learn to thrive where others would perish. From the diamond mines of Mirny to the shores of Lake Baikal. From the volcanic peaks of Kamchatka to the ghost towns along the Road of Bones. From the depths of the taiga to the windswept tundra where reindeer still roam. This is Siberia, not just frozen, not just empty, but alive with complexity, beauty, and mystery. A continent within a country. A place that challenges everything we think we know about what Earth can be. And if there's one thing I hope you take away from this journey, it's this. Siberia isn't just a place on a map. It's a reminder that our planet still holds wilderness, still holds mystery, still holds places where nature reigns supreme. And humans must adapt or leave. In a world that often feels completely explored, completely mapped, completely understood, Siberia stands as proof that we haven't seen everything yet. There are still frontiers, still places that resist easy understanding, still lands where the old ways survive alongside the new. And maybe that's exactly what we need to remember. That the Earth is larger, stranger, and more resilient than we sometimes give it credit for. Siberia, the frozen frontier, the last wilderness, the land of ice and fire. It's not just a place, it's a perspective, a humbling reminder of our place in the natural world. And now you know its secrets. If Siberia surprised you today, hit that like button, subscribe for more incredible journeys like this, and comment below, which part shocked you most? Thanks for watching. See you in the next epic adventure.